Robin Hitchcock has had a long and glorious career of musical eccentricity, first with the Soft Boys, and then with various backing groups, including the Fabulous Egyptians. And today he joins us with the Venus Three, including Peter Buck and the REM session musicians Scott McCoy and Bill Rieflin. The Cafe's Tracy Tannenbaum will talk with Robin about insects, dreams, his heroes, John Lennon and Bob Dylan, and, of course, his songs. First up, a performance of the title song of the new album, Olé Tarantula.
Out in the trees, old tarantulas got me.
That's Robin Hitchcock with the Venus Three, Peter Buck, Scott McCoy, and Bill Rieflin. And also we had some backing vocals. Can you tell us who were on them?
They've just snuck up, but they look to me suspiciously like Mark Pickerel and Michelle Nowak, my wife. That's Michelle's my wife, not Mark.
Yeah.
Just for the record.
I got that.
I can't see them. They seem to have gone.
Well, thank you. Thank you for performing that tune. That was great. You know, a lot has been made, Robin, of your attraction to bugs and creepy crawly things and sea creatures and stuff. Why are you drawn to them?
Let's put it round the other way. Why isn't everybody else? You know, I mean, they're there all the time from when you're two or three. I remember Peter Cook, one of the first things he noticed, I mean, his parents went off to Africa and left him to live with his aunt for 8 years. And the first thing he was attached to was beetles, bees and stuff like that, and land lobsters, whatever. I mean, they're just there constantly, and I suppose they look good.
Mm.
So, you know, I don't sing about sports bars or, you know, the Apple computers or, you know, I do sing stuff occasionally about the administration and things. I don't necessarily put it on a record, but, you know, I'm obviously quite a vociferous left winger by modern standards. I used to be just an aimless hippie, but things have drifted in such a way that, you know, yesterday's aimless hippie is today's left wing radical. But in terms of what I sing about, they crop up, but I sing a lot of... I think the other thing is you got to realize, Tracy, and I'm sure you do, is that songs are basically feelings, and a feeling is if there isn't a feeling in a song, it's just not there. It's hollow, you know. It's papier-mâché, and you get the feeling, and then that feeling has some notes in it and a sort of sound, and then you kind of dip it in words. You coat it in words, but the words are secondary. The most important thing is the feeling. Usually the feeling will give you some words to go with it. Sometimes I might have a title lying around, and then suddenly that title is kind of... the feeling comes into the room and sort of tries the title on, like you might try a jacket on in a shop or something. You know, oh, that's nice. So I think I had the title Olé Tarantula lying around for 2 or 3 years, and suddenly one morning the feeling came in and went, oh, look. Olé Tarantula. And that was it. You know, the song, the feeling comes and it's attracted. You know, I almost like I leave these titles out, to, like you might leave some cheese out for a mouse or something, but not...
Do you think that bugs have, I don't know, advantages over human beings?
Yes. For one thing, their life is considerably less complicated. They simply live on what they find. They eat up the remains of stuff that's there. They don't require central heating systems. They're not involved in massive and costly wars. They're not deluded by religion or commerce or a sense of progress. And they're finite. You know, they come and go. They replace themselves. It goes on for centuries, millennia, billennia. The bugs evolve. They turn into larger or smaller bugs or firms of accountants or something. Who knows? Humans, you know, we live on stuff. We have no idea where it comes from. We couldn't care less about the people who provide us with it. We have enormous trouble communicating with each other, despite the fact that now we all have cell phones and emails and mm-hmm. laptops and... You know, a human is very inefficient. I don't have much respect for humans, but I do think that humans are just terribly sad, and maybe that's why music is important to us, because there is an awful lot of tears to cry for humanity. I mean, not just self pity, but it's just humans are, you know, we know better, but we don't do better. I'm proud to be an artist, but I'd rather be a bug.
You say that humans are sad.
Yeah.
You say that humans are sad, and it seems as though some of your songs, even though they're couched in happy, jangling, warm, you know, in that kind of warm feel, that your songs have a slightly sad feeling to them as well.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I've always liked sad songs. I think... You know, my heroes, Bob Dylan and John Lennon, were a really sad, you know, pair of guys. They had big noses and they were quite aggressive, and you wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of them. But the reason they work is because you can just feel that incredibly deep resonance of sadness inside them. I mean, John Lennon, almost anything he does makes you want to cry, even if he's being obnoxious. And Dylan had that feeling. I think any, you know, great art is always supposed to move people. I mean, we don't claim that this is great art, but given that we're not making loads of money off it, it must be art. We're certainly not doing this to get rich, you know.
Well, then,
so I mean, occasionally someone will get through the net, like Peter made that comment about REM being the acceptable face of the unacceptable, and it was great. You know, they got through. We're just unacceptable.
And I don't mean to pry, but you said that some of your heroes are sad. Do you consider yourself sad? You don't come across sad.
Well, I don't mean that I'm, you know, everybody cries a pool of tears when I walk into the room. I just mean that there's a sadness in people. And, you know, I don't know whether I'm unusually, I'm extra pathetic or not. I just think that's the feeling you get off music, or I get off music. The most resonant feeling I get from music is sadness. It's not joy or triumph. And humor, you know, I'm notorious for being humorous, but humor is often a bit of a distraction with music. You know, if there's too much of a laugh in there, people miss what's underneath. But again, you know, Dylan and Lennon, they could be hilarious. And I think the art is to try and go up and down at the same time in a song. So one bit of you is responding by laughing at the punchlines, and the other bit of you is just the tears are welling up.
And I think, you know, you talk about being humorous. A lot of your music kind of has funny lyrics, funny imagery. Do you feel as though some critics or music reviewers have missed your message in using certain labels like idiosyncratic to describe you?
That and the Q word, I think.
Quirky?
Yes.
Yeah.
My wife, Michelle, she gets that as well. You know, she's in her art. She's an artist. And the Q word turns up a lot. And it's you know, it covers a lazy mind. It's just a little soundbite. It doesn't help. It's like saying Michael Jackson's eccentric. You know, it isn't useful, but of course people have so little time to describe you. I think people just haven't really picked up on a lot of the musical side of what I do. They always get hijacked by the lyrics and they go, "Whoa, what a wacky fellow," or, "Oh, I love your lyrics, they're so imaginative," or whatever. But you know, if it was just about the lyrics, I'd just write poems. You know, I wouldn't have spent 30 years playing with this incredible array of musicians stretching back from the Soft Boys through Grant Lee Phillips, John Bryan, Denny Benet, Tim Keegan, you know, the swathes of the REM family. I don't know. I mean, I am fundamentally a musician, and I feel a bit frustrated sometimes that people just get hung up on my lyrics.
Robin Hitchcock and the Venus Three are our guests today on the World Cafe. What do you want to do next, Robin?
This is NY Doll, which is based on the movie New York Doll. Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
Well, go and see the movie. It's about the life of Arthur Killer Kane, the bass player of the New York Dolls. And then listen to this song. So you can listen to the tape afterwards.
And in this case, we'll listen to the song first. And,
okay.
That will
imagine
tell us
you've
something.
Just seen the film.
Okay.
I never finished the book. Be loved or to be
That's Robin Hitchcock in the Venus 3 with N.Y. Doll, a beautiful song. What inspired you to write about Arthur Kane? He was kind of a tragic figure.
Well, he was just a bloke who, you know, he started at the top, I suppose, or quite high in the New York Dolls, whose aim was decadence. You know, they weren't a bodybuilding concern. The idea was to, you know, you mortgage your future and have it all now. So they had as much as they could now, and when they had enough, they fell apart, and Arthur sort of found himself getting dodgier and dodgier gigs and drinking and carrying on with drugs, you know, carrying on the party after there's no money to pay for it, really. And eventually, I think he fell through a window and found Jesus. So he seemed like quite a sort of dozy guy in a way. And someone decided to make a film about him. You know, it's like everybody is weird on some level. Some people are overtly colorful and other people are almost sepia or beige. They don't seem interesting at all. But, you know, get down inside them and there's something interesting going on. And I just saw the film and I just had this very strong feeling of a life that was bottled for you in this film. And that somehow this man was very important. His story is everybody's, you know. I don't know how to describe it without resorting to cliches, and one of my functions is not to resort to cliches unless they're my own. And I was just very moved by it. I got up the next morning, picked up this very guitar and made up the song. I mean, it was just a result of seeing the film.
Now, I read that your father was a science fiction writer. What did he write?
If only it could be described that simply.
I see.
One of the things I've inherited from Raymond, my father, is being unmarketable. You know, he was a bit less of a schmoozer than I am. And, you know, I like to get about, and he was quite retiring. You know, one of my goals in life is to go to the bar with Scott McCoy and sort of pick up a bunch of musicians and let's boogie. My dad didn't really have that ethos. So, he wrote all these great things. He had about 8 books published, of which the best is one called The Tunnelers, about two men tunneling under the British soldiers tunneling under the German lines in World War I, which is just a straight narrative.
Did he share stories with you? Did you make up stories together growing up?
No, we really had very little to do with each other. It was a classic, you know, uptight middle-class British upbringing. But I just absorbed a lot by being near him.
Oh, yeah, I'd have.
And I think that's why I became a musician, because he did all the other stuff, you know, writing plays and films and being a painter and all that stuff. So the one area he didn't go into was music. So not to be in competition with my father, I became a musician, perhaps.
Mm. What did he think of your becoming a musician, of your pursuing art, since he seemed to, although not with much success?
Well, being the kind of person he was probably quite competitive in a way. And also, you don't really go into that. You don't become a rock musician to make your parents happy. So, you know, it's one field that they cannot relate to unless you make $1 billion. And even then, they'll find something wrong with it. So I don't know. I think he eventually got it, you know. Mm-hmm. By the time he died in 91 or 92, so he picked up on some of it, definitely.
Did you feel like you were rebelling when you were playing rock music, when you were pursuing music?
I think once, when I was about 18, I got very drunk and thought this would be a rebellious thing to do. But you pretty soon realize that it's a job and you're not rebelling against anything, you know. You rebel against yourself if you stay up too late the night before. It doesn't stop you doing it. No, you know, there's so many myths about it. In the end, it is a job. And, you know, we're all utterly professional, like you are. Here we all are with our headphones in Philadelphia. That's professionalism.
Robin Hitchcock and the Venus 3 are our guests today on the World Cafe. What's up next, Robin?
Okay, this one is Adventure Rocket Ship.
Adventure Rocket Ship, inside a head parade, a message from the future. You crash upon a star.
Wow. What an end. Amazing. Robin Hitchcock and the Venus Three are our guests today on the World Cafe, and that is Adventure Rocket Ship. You know, Robin, I'm listening to these songs, and I'm trying to think. As I was looking at the lyrics, I was wondering if you are someone who has a vivid dream life, if you dream a lot, and if you ever use some of the words.
I would take that as a yes. I have a lot of dreams, and mostly they're intense, and I don't like them much. I've never enjoyed dreams. When I was a kid and I heard those songs going, "May all your dreams come true," I'd sort of run screaming into the corner. No, I try to avoid actually putting them in my songs. But it's a good point. You know, I think writing songs is akin to dreaming. It's the subconscious doing whatever it has to do, telling you these stories which feed back on themselves. And if you don't have them, you go crazy. I mean, you've got to have REM, you know. And I think this has the same function for me. I have to get these little stories out, or selections of images, or whatever you like. Yes, my songs are visual, I suppose. I have pictures or cartoons, you know. My dad drew cartoons. They're like that sort of thing. You can make up I think Adventure Rocket Ship, I even drew a cartoon that they've then animated. I think it's important to let this stuff get out. Like people used to trepan themselves, you know, they drill holes in their skulls to let out the evil spirits. And I'm a great believer in the exorcism of art.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the World Cafe. The new album is Olay Tarantula. It's quite a beautiful album. Robin Hitchcock and the Venus Three are Peter Buck, Scott McCoy, and Bill Rieflin. Thank you all so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tracy. Thanks.
You.